Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I am joined by Mark Tossell. Mark is the practice lead for Visioneer 360, and this is the second time we've recorded some content with Mark. But the first piece was 2 to 3 years ago when he just started the business. So it was really good to catch up with him and find out what's been happening in his world, how his role has evolved, and to really dig a little bit deeper around the offering from Salesforce in the analytics space and find out a bit more about the Tableau acquisition, the differences between Tableau CRM and Tableau itself, and then how the Einstein Analytics platform has evolved now that it is Tableau CRM. We discussed the different products and when companies would choose one over the other, how the capabilities now stack up to other technology platforms. We delve into skill sets and how people can transition or pick up Tableau and Tableau CRM and potentially move into this space. And then we look at some of the complexities of how companies are doing analytics and delving deeper into the data they have, and then discuss some machine learning topics, look at which industries are doing analytics particularly well, and then find out from Mark around where he sees the analytics space going from here. So a really, really interesting episode, very much in the analytics and machine learning and data space. And I really hope you do enjoy this episode. I think there's lots of value in here. And if you do, please do subscribe for future episodes that are coming through. So Mark, thanks so much. Here you are again. We were just trying to work out when you were last on the show, and it was actually the first episode of Talent Hub TV. So even before we had the podcast. And at that point, I think your business had just started getting off the ground. You'd made the transition for a number of years before into the Salesforce space, and you were telling us more about your journey. But what I'm keen to hear more about and speak to you about is how things have evolved since then, and also really focusing on the Einstein Analytics or the Tableau CRM, whatever you call it these days, space, and find out about what's been evolving in the world of analytics. So welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben. It's been a while.
It has. So yeah, let's touch on your role a little bit, because obviously things have changed. Your business is bigger, the ecosystem is continuing to grow and expand and go in all sorts of different directions. So what's kind of changed with your role, and how has that evolved over the last 3 or so years?
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy journey, actually. Beginning a business about 3 years ago, became Salesforce Partners 2.5 years ago. I'll say more about this later, but the Tableau acquisition had a pretty interesting impact on our business in a positive way. So we've just become Tableau partners and resellers, and I'm the primary sales resource there. As far as the evolution of my role, Ben, from when we last spoke, so when we kicked off the business, my role was very technology focused, building out solutions, proofs of concept, et cetera. And it was some engagement with clients, but now as the practice lead for both Einstein Analytics / Tableau CRM and Tableau, it's very much a pre-sales or a solution engineer role. So still somewhat technical, which I'm glad for because I love the technology, but very much a client-facing role. So I spend a lot of time evaluating use cases and solution design, occasionally proofs of concept. I do work with our team on around the UI and UX, which is one area that I'm very passionate about when it comes to analytics and AI. We're also a lot more involved in the AI space than we were before. So we have several Einstein Discovery machine learning builds on the go at the moment, and that's been really an exciting evolution for us. And then, of course, you know, I do very little building now. I do work with some of the hands-on build for the machine learning, but we have a team that heads up implementation and ongoing support. So much less involved in that than I was at the start when we were obviously a lot smaller and just getting started.
Sure. So you keep reinventing yourself. You've gone from not being an IT person to an IT person, now a pre-sales lead and practice lead. So how did you find the selling side of things initially, getting into that kind of pre-sales space?
It's funny you should ask that, because years ago I said to myself, two things I never want to do. I never want to own a business and I never want to be in sales.
And here you are.
Yeah. So I'm actually really enjoying the sales role. I went through the Salesforce training program that they provide for partners, which is called the Thrive program. So I became certified through peer review, which was quite challenging, as a partner solution engineer with Salesforce. So I learned heaps in that training because I obviously had no background in sales. And then just getting, it's interesting with all the conversations with prospects and then with clients, you learn so much about what's going on. You get a lot of great ideas around applications for the technology. I'm the kind of guy that I can't sell something if I don't believe in it. So there have been times that I've said to a prospective client, look, you know, I don't think this is the best use case for you. Here are some other options, or here's some things you should think about. In one case, they wanted to use machine learning. Their data wasn't really a fit, so we kind of pivoted towards more of an analytics solution. But I think people appreciate that approach. And yeah, I guess it's served me well thus far.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. I think, you know, as a salesperson myself, it's hard to turn away business or put people in a direction that's not always the right thing for your business. But as long as it's the right thing for theirs, eventually that will come back. And I guess it's karma, right? It comes back, and it's always best to do the right thing, I guess. So in terms of this world that you operate in, so analytics, AI, the whole Salesforce, it was Einstein Analytics, Einstein AI. How has this space evolved since your business started? How much bigger and broader is the offering now from Salesforce than it was back then?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So yeah, I'll go a little bit further back than when we began our business. So my Salesforce journey now is surprisingly almost 5 years old. So back in mid-2016, when I was involved or introduced to the ecosystem, you know, you had your Wave Analytics, which Salesforce had purchased EdgeSpring in 2013. They rebranded it and launched it as Wave in 2014. So that was their BI platform. And then you had Salesforce Reports and Dashboards. Then in 2016, they purchased BeyondCore, which was essentially became the Einstein engine, as it were, and was rebranded and launched in 2017. So I've been working with Einstein since that time, since it first came out, as far as Discovery and the other Einstein products go. And then began working with Einstein Analytics at that point in 2016, right after it was rebranded from being Wave. The biggest change was in 2019, Salesforce spent $16 billion and purchased Tableau, which surprised a lot of people. But it just gave them a much broader base of customers. The market became much greater and larger. And also they purchased an analytics tool or platform that's quite different, and I'll talk through this in a little while. Very complementary, but very different from what was Einstein Analytics. And then, of course, recently, just last year, Salesforce again did what it does best, which is surprise people. Mm-hmm. And they rebranded Einstein Analytics as Tableau CRM. And the thinking behind that was to basically go to clients with a unified solution with a group of platforms or tools under that Tableau umbrella, whether that's, you know, your predictive modeling in Tableau, on-prem analytics in Tableau, your embedded analytics from Tableau CRM. So it's never a dull moment, right? There's constantly something going on. That was probably, I think that was, yeah, the biggest change would have been the Tableau acquisition. But then I know for us, a lot of people were kind of thrown by the renaming of Einstein Analytics as Tableau CRM. But I think people now are beginning to understand the reasoning behind that. And of course, there's still obviously the prevalence of native Salesforce reports and dashboards.
Sure, which will never go away, right? That the need for, or the requirement to use them for certain things. And, you know, they're a good fit for some businesses.
Oh, absolutely. They are your go-to analytics tool. You know, it's interesting that in spite of the purchase of EdgeSpring, which became Wave, which became Einstein, which became Tableau CRM, and then the purchase of Tableau, in spite of all of that, and even the other tools that are available, such as Datarama, et cetera, you know, your go-to tool for your, particularly for your Salesforce admin and your power users, you know, the ability to really quickly create a report or a dashboard that gives you that live information, you know, that you don't require as much training or experience or background in data as you do for the other tools. And I think it's sometimes underestimated, but I also think you do need to understand the limits of native reporting. For example, we have one client in the not-for-profit space where they're trying to create a service delivery report. And unfortunately, service delivery for them draws on about 8 different objects. Well, it's just not, you can't do that in native reporting, right? So, you know, they were pulling out 20, 25 reports from Salesforce's CSVs stick him in Excel, spending 3 days aggregating, transforming, literally VLOOKUPs with record IDs, if you can believe that. Just a horrible, error-prone, tedious job. Well, you know, you need to stop there and think there's probably a better way to do this. And in this case, we were able to partner with them and build it out with Tableau CRM, and now it's a dashboard that's available on demand. So, you know, as powerful a tool as reports and dashboards are, you do need to know their limit, and you do need to consider your options when you hit that ceiling.
Sure. So when you look at the acquisition, you mentioned it surprised a lot of people. So at the time, was Tableau a direct competitor for Einstein Analytics, or were they playing in slightly different spaces, or, like, you know, why was it a surprise?
So I remember actually getting up one morning and just browsing my LinkedIn feed and literally falling out of my chair, because Salesforce had just gone ahead and purchased one of our top two competitors in the BI space. So the top two competitors were Power BI and Tableau, and Salesforce had purchased Tableau. Now, the difference is that Tableau has a much broader market purely than the Salesforce ecosystem, right? So generally speaking, historically, Einstein Analytics or Tableau CRM has been used for situations where at least some of the data is in Salesforce. You know, it's amazing at pulling in data from external sources, for sure. But the use case has pretty much always been, hey, we want to add, you know, our ERP and our accounting and Google Analytics and Pardot, whatever. We want to bring that information in, and we want to combine it with our Salesforce data, and then we want to put all that together and produce data sets that have everything there that we need for that one source of truth. But then we want to embed those dashboards back in Salesforce in front of the user, in process, in CRM, so they can action those analytics. Whereas if you look at Tableau, you know, certainly a lot of Salesforce customers were using Tableau, but, you know, their customer base and prospect base was much broader and larger than purely Salesforce customers. So, you know, when the purchase was made, it was an interesting one, because it also meant that now Salesforce would, you know, potentially be delivering analytics and pitching analytics to, you know, using Tableau to people that weren't in Salesforce, which they would not have done before.
Sure. So would a potential customer have both Tableau and Tableau CRM?
Yeah, so we were working with a very large government client mid last year, and they invested a lot of money in Tableau, but then saw the potential for Einstein Analytics, the Tableau CRM, to deliver on platform, and also some of the use cases, what they were trying to do, were really an excellent fit for Tableau CRM. So what we ended up doing was something we'd actually not done before, which was we built the Einstein Analytics, which was a great success. It was meant to be a proof of concept, but ended up going live in production. People were thrilled with it. But also there was not only existing Tableau analytics, but new Tableau analytics that were built. One particular use case was a Gantt chart. So it's not really feasible, or at least not out of the box or easily, to build a Gantt chart in Einstein. Whereas it's pretty simple in Tableau. It's just, it has that capability to build Gantt charts fairly quickly. And so they needed a Gantt chart to supplement these other analytics. So that was built in Tableau. We built the rest of the solution in Tableau CRM, and then we built a landing page in CRM. So they would either be taken to the Einstein Analytics embedded dashboard or to the Tableau embedded dashboard. And that capability is going to be, it's improving all the time, which I'll say a little bit more later on. But also that use case, I think, is quite common, because if I think of some of our clients, so Motorola Solutions Incorporated, based out of Chicago, we're working with their global sales team. Well, they've, that, as a business, as a corporation, they've invested a lot of money, not only in Salesforce and in Einstein Analytics, Tableau CRM, but also in Tableau itself. So it does become an interesting discussion, Ben, where one of our roles as a trusted advisor is to come in, look at the use case, look at the data, and, you know, begin to evaluate, you know, what is the best solution. Is it a hybrid solution, as it was with the government client, or, you know, is it more of a one platform, or, you know, it's got to be horses for courses. It can be quite challenging.
Yeah, I can imagine. So where does machine learning fit into all of this?
Yeah, that's a interesting that you asked that. As a business, we found that until a year ago, interest in machine learning, so in this context, Einstein Discovery Machine Learning, Einstein Discovery is a supervised machine learning platform, was very much curiosity only. So we'd built a number of use cases with Einstein Discovery, but they were more prototypes and experiments. Whereas we've seen the last few months, we have a number of clients now for whom we're building machine learning and predictive modeling for production. It is being used to enable business decision making. And I don't really think that's a result of the tool evolving, although it has evolved. I think it's just that the market has matured. I think people have realized there is value. It isn't just hype. But I always do advise people to, you know, to take the right approach with AI. It's a very business outcome driven approach. You've really got to make sure that before you invest in it, you have the data to support it, which not everybody does. And often it can be a staged approach. For one of our clients, we built an analytics suite, which meant we also got to really know their data and their data architecture. Then we built a machine learning POC, which delivered value. And now we're building the machine learning MVP to go into production. And you know, having a strategic approach, making sure you've got very clearly defined business outcomes, very clearly defined and as much as possible simple use cases, that's going to help you be successful. And again, it's interesting to see that more people are investing in that. And I think based on research I've done recently, mainly through Gartner articles and Forrester, it does appear that COVID, as you're probably not surprised, COVID is acting as a catalyst for digital transformation. And I think that's flying on into the AI space.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It was what was the driver behind digital transformation for a lot of companies? It was COVID, right? It was necessity rather than desire for many big corporations. Kind of found themselves back to the wall and needing to innovate because of the situation they found themselves in. And is that flowing through into the AI space as well?
I'd say the broader data space in general, which would include AI, which would then a subset of AI is machine learning, as we've discussed. So recently in some research that I did, it was interesting to see the projected increase in spending in IT as a general department or area or category rather. But the number one area on the list, kind of the areas within IT in which they're investing money, there were the obvious ones like cloud infrastructure, cloud data warehouses, et cetera. The number one was analytics and BI. So getting value out of data is right at the top of the list for organizations across segments and industries. You know, it isn't purely, all right, now we're finally using digital signatures. Well, that's certainly true. And that space, I imagine, has grown tremendously in the last 12 months. But people are realizing that they've got to become more agile. They've got to become more flexible. They've got to be able to pivot more quickly. They've got to have the ability to make decisions that really are based on data. And that is driving a lot of spending in BI. Unfortunately, the flip side is that the recent estimate from Gartner for 2021 is that 80%, and this is quite staggering, 80% of the insights that are delivered to businesses, so your dashboards, your analytics, your predictions, anything of that nature, insights, 80% will not be used. Of data science projects, which includes, you know, it would include Einstein Discovery Machine Learning, but it would also include the projects built by data scientists, so coding in Python and R, et cetera. Of data science projects, historically, 87% never make it to production. So there's a real gap between the vision for transformation and insights, the investment that's being made, which is very significant. But the result, there's a huge gap between what they want to see and what they are seeing. Yeah, I'm working on a new blog at the moment just around some thoughts. Why is that? Because that's a huge, huge problem. I mean, when you're spending hundreds of billions of dollars or trillions of dollars globally, and 80% of it's not even going to get used, that's catastrophic.
So you mentioned Power BI and Tableau, and obviously Salesforce fit into that triangle initially, and then they acquired Tableau and that gave them further reach and scope across different customer bases. But where do they sit now, and how does their offering compare in the analytics and AI space to some of the competitors out there? Like, how well placed are they now for further growth in this space?
Yes, I mean, even if you were to look at the recent Gartner quadrant for data and analytics, Tableau's always been right up there in the top right end. Salesforce has been moving up that way. But I think now that you have the combined offering, so you've got Tableau CRM, which was Einstein Analytics, which is your, you want to embed those insights in front of CRM users. You want to be able to action directly from a dashboard in Salesforce without even leaving your dashboard. I mean, for one of our not-for-profit clients, taking a list of, 5 million donors and segmenting them for a certain appeal in the dashboard. And then you've got a list of 25,000 donors that you want to send on a campaign in Marketing Cloud. And you literally, a few clicks of the button without leaving the dashboard, they're being added to a Salesforce campaign based on their characteristics and their fit for the campaign. And then that's driving Marketing Cloud campaign. And then the ROI data from the Marketing Cloud campaign is coming back into Tableau CRM. That's something unique to Einstein Analytics. You can't do that with any other platform. Also, the embedded machine learning, the embedded predictive modeling, the ability to predict a likelihood of a deal closing or a likelihood of it closing on time or attrition and churn and all the rest of that, all on platform, all connected and accessible in one place. That's the uniqueness. But now we've combined that with Tableau, which is your any data anywhere for any user BI platform. So you could have something like a large financial institution where Salesforce is used in just one compartment, one segment of the business. It's very siloed, both the use case and the data is very siloed. But perhaps, they've got an enterprise data warehouse and they've got other systems they want to bring data in from that maybe is going to be anonymized, depersonalized, and build out business-wide analytics that are going to be delivered largely to people not using Salesforce. Well, that was never really a use case for Salesforce before. But now with Tableau, you've kind of got the best, or you do have the best of both worlds. And particularly now, I can take Einstein Discovery, build a machine learning model, embed the predictions and insights, patterns, predictors, everything, correlation, all of that into a Tableau dashboard. And that dashboard can either be embedded in Salesforce for Salesforce users, or you could give a viewer or explorer license to 5,000 people in the organization that, they don't use Salesforce. And now you've got the machine learning and, even with the Tableau data prep tool, which is amazing, we can bring in data from literally anywhere, even from on-prem servers, combine it, transform it in Tableau data prep, use it for an Einstein machine learning model, use it for embedded Tableau CRM dashboards in Salesforce, and then use it to drive business-wide analytics for people that aren't anywhere near Salesforce. For us as a service provider, as I go in my role of assessing and providing a solution design, it's a game changer. Now I can really say, hey, let's step back and look at this and think. For one client, he was suggesting Tableau CRM and looking at different factors like where the data was, the licensing model, all different contributing variables. I said, look, you're looking to deliver this dashboard to 1,300 managers across Australia and New Zealand that aren't in Salesforce. Let's go Tableau.
Sure.
But then he goes, well, I want to do predictive modeling. Well, we can deliver that, and we have already. We've delivered predictive modeling using Einstein and some in Tableau as well, because there's some capability there for that. So it's kind of like, I feel like a kid in a lolly shop or a candy shop.
There's
so many options.
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking through all of that, I can't believe this guy once wasn't in IT. Like when you're explaining all the capabilities and the options, and it's just like, anyone that that's looking to transition their career should watch this and think it can be done, and also anyone that's kind of got doubts about can someone learn this stuff, absolutely they can, because just 5-6 years ago you weren't talking like this.
Oh, 5-6 years ago, I was offered a job working on Salesforce, which they told me was a CRM, and I'm literally Googling Salesforce and CRM.
Like, yeah.
And look, to put myself aside, obviously tons of hard work and persistence and failure and learning and everything else. But I was thinking the other day, I'm teaching my son Salesforce. I'm teaching him about data, and he's learning about computer science. And it's all done online. I mean, the course is available on platforms like edX and Udemy, even good old YouTube. You know, the resources available, even now compared to 5 years ago when I began.
Yeah.
If you're willing to put in the time, if you're willing to believe and take a risk, and, you know, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, anything's tough. Building a marriage is tough. Building a business is tough. Life itself can be tough. But, you know, the rewards of learning something new and exciting. I mean, when I started learning machine learning, which would have been, I guess, 3 odd years ago, right around when Einstein Discovery was launched, I didn't have any idea what I was looking at. I'd look at R squared and root mean squared errors and Ginis and areas under the, all these terminology, right? It just could have been another language. And I realized if I'm really going to use Einstein Discovery and not just stick a data set through it and produce a bunch of cool looking charts, if I want to build something that's actually reliable and trustworthy, I need to understand what's going on. So I actually got online and I took some classes in EDX around data science. I took some online courses in statistics. I'm constantly reading, and, you know, just over time, there's a lot of work. You know, I picked a lot of it up, and I'm still learning.
Of course.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I'm not a coder. That's the interesting part, isn't it? I'm not a dev. I do use a bit of code, JSON and SQL as needed for Tableau CRM builds. Because I'm using automated machine learning and supervised machine learning, I actually don't use code for that. Whereas my colleague, our data architect, Gayathri, yeah, I mean, she's got 20 years of IT. She does Python. She does R. She's an absolute whiz.
What a find she must have been.
Where did we get her? Oh, that's right. From you guys.
Yeah, that one worked out well, didn't it?
No, you're not kidding.
Just talking on skill sets then. So, yes, you can learn this stuff, and it's about how much you kind of commit. But obviously, there's more Tableau people in the market than there are Tableau CRM, because Tableau CRM, like even before it was Tableau CRM and it was Einstein Analytics, it was a candidate short market. And like I think at the time, we probably didn't see that many specialists. And obviously, there are more and more specialists are popping up. But is that a transition that you see as a one that people can easily make from being a Tableau specialist into being a Tableau CRM specialist?
It's interesting that you asked that. So I'm not sure I'm not sure that that is the best way to ask that question. It could be more around, can you take someone that knows Salesforce, has an understanding of data, even if they're not a Tableau expert, and then teach them either Tableau or Tableau CRM? And then I think a separate question might be, could you transition from one to the other?
Sure.
We recently hired someone that had a strong background in legacy platforms, the kind that banks would use, and programming. She's a dev, some experience with Tableau, but, you know, pretty good understanding of data, but more importantly, a very inquisitive, curious mind and a desire to learn. And she's older. She has been learning Einstein Analytics, and then I've been mentoring her in Einstein Discovery Machine Learning. And this weekend she passed her Einstein Analytics and Discovery Consultant exam, and she's growing in leaps and bounds. You know, it is possible if you've got a background to leverage that background, or if you're like me, even no background, mm-hmm. and learn this stuff. I think you're at a big advantage if you do have a background of some kind. But even if you take myself, so been using Einstein Analytics, Tableau CRM, still hard to use the new name, by the way, for I guess 4 years. 4 years. You know, but recently, early last year, picking up Tableau, you know, I went through the Tableau boot camp, did a lot of online learning and experimenting and building. And now that we're Tableau partners, I have to go through a certification and accreditation process. I'll be honest, I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. It's very interesting to see the parallels between Tableau CRM and Tableau, each platform's pros and cons. Even a simple thing like, you know, in Einstein Analytics, if I'm drilling into a dashboard and I want to reset my filters, I just click on one button, there's a little undo arrow and everything resets. Well, it's not that simple in Tableau. Whereas in Tableau, to build a data table that has complex roll-ups and summaries and subtotals and totals and grand totals, and you know, there's so much capability in Tableau for that particular use case and the formatting and the colors and everything that we don't have in Tableau CRM. Probably I'd say my favorite part of the learning journey has been the Tableau Data Prep tool. And, you know, we're looking at use cases now where we would use Tableau Data Prep to prepare the master data sets, which is the source of truth, to then drive Tableau CRM dashboards, Einstein discovery predictions, and Tableau dashboards. And I know I mentioned that earlier, but, you know, I would not have known that. You don't learn that by just reading articles. You've got to learn that through building and doing. And I'd encourage anyone that's listening to this, anyone that's out there, as I just encourage that new lady that we hired recently that's learning Einstein discovery. You know, it's great to do Trailhead. It's great to watch the YouTube videos. And there are some, you know, great websites out there with lots of resources, but you'll never learn until you build.
Are they like the equivalent of DevOrgs that you can get hands-on with these tools?
Yeah, so it's very easy to get a development environment for Tableau CRM. And it's a little bit different for Tableau, but certainly for Tableau CRM. From memory, the Tableau one, I think, expires after a month, the free trial. But I don't know if you know this, I'm writing a book, a technical manual for Tableau CRM.
Okay.
With a publisher called Pact. They actually reached out to me and asked me to write that, which is really cool.
Yeah, nice.
But I actually do, it's interesting, I go through that process in there of, you know, this is how you get a development environment. It's pre-populated with data. It's got Einstein licenses. It's got there's an app in there which is called, I hope I get the name right, Einstein Analytics Learning Adventure. And it's great because it's a hands-on way of building and learning. I'd also suggest, you know, we as a business, we've done some pro bono work recently with an organization called The Man Walk. They're a not-for-profit organization that I'm really respectful of. We've given a lot of time to that because we believe in what they're doing. And I'm sure there are other not-for-profit organizations out there that if you were someone that had a desire to learn, you know, either Salesforce, whatever, Salesforce, Analytics, Marketing Cloud, Pardot, you know, you name it, Service Cloud, you know, you could potentially learn through building in a use case where you're donating your time.
Sure.
But you definitely need to get hands-on. I know with Tableau, you might remind me after the podcast, Ben, I'll dig out the link. But for Tableau, there's actually a website where they set you a challenge every month. And it's a real use case and it's data that makes sense, right? As opposed to dummy data that you generate that generally is useless. And you get to build these challenges out. I don't think we have anything at the moment for Tableau CRM like that, but I find that's really useful because you're solving problems, and that's how I learn, is solving problems.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's good to know there are resources out there for people in this world, not just Trailhead, but digging a bit deeper and going hands-on with these platforms. You've mentioned a couple of times like NFP and not-for-profit for anyone that doesn't catch that. Like, are you seeing this like adoption kind of industry-wide now, or are there pockets that are more active in this world or have historically done more with analytics than others?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So I know for us, we have several not-for-profit clients. Probably one of our all-time favorite clients is UNICEF Australia. And both historically and presently have invested very heavily in data and in analytics, historically with Tableau, more recently with Tableau CRM. And other tools, I might add. You know, my experience has been that it's very much case by case as far as, you know, how well a certain industry is doing or how much investment is there in certain industries. It's been a while since I've looked at that research, but I know, for example, that traditionally financial services, because of the wealth of data, you know, when you look at all that, for example, transactional data, have invested a lot in analytics. But one area, and we have a new client in this area, which is exciting for us, kind of the fintech area, where it's a data-driven business right from the start. It's very technology focused, very innovative. You know, that fintech space is obviously investing very heavily in the broader area of data analytics and insights. If you were to look at areas such as manufacturing, I know that there's a lot of investment now in manufacturing, in trying to make the whole supply chain more of a digital supply chain and leverage the data all the way from the genesis of the product all the way to the actual invoice delivery, you know, feedback, etc. That's a very interesting application. My background is mechanical engineering, so that interests me a lot because I know there's a lot of data available both in the manufacturing environment, particularly in this day and age, but also in the broader supply chain environment. I know for us, one area that is very, I think, interested is the right term, but they are also making a pretty significant investment in data and analytics is education. Now, I'm not terribly familiar with K through 12, Ben, but I do know that in the higher education or the tertiary education, so in Australia, tertiary education, in America, higher education, because we've been working a lot with colleges in the States, and even some really quite well-known ones like Harvard, Yale, Cornell, and others around the use of machine learning and productivity and student success. There's a lot of research and a lot of money been invested in data analytics in that space. I think that areas that are lagging, it's surprisingly, and they are catching up, would be medical, and I think legal. Legal is probably one of the slowest to really grasp the value of data. Real estate is another one where I think there's massive potential for leveraging data with all the information that's available publicly. One area that we're getting involved in now is insurance and in risk analysis, fraud detection. We're working with a very much an innovative insurance broker. They're called KJ Risk and have developed out a suite of analytics around claims, but then looking beyond just purely what's happened with claims or what's happening with claims, but fraud detection and risk analysis and really being able to make the business more efficient, live more value to their customers.
Anything in the recruitment world? Do you hear of much being done in this fabulous world of recruitment?
Yeah, it's interesting. I spoke with someone quite a while ago, just around the idea of semi-automating, not automating, right? I don't think you'd ever automate it because it's a very humanized business, right? But a little motto I have is you want to automate the mundane and humanize the exceptional.
Sure.
So what could we automate? Well, could we semi-automate the process of matching a client with a potential role? Now, we're not going to fully automate that, but could we semi-automate that? Could we surface? And that is being done in some cases. I don't know that it's being done terribly well. We were recently working with one of our clients who's in the medical recruitment space, and just the ability to have a simple matrix. For them, it's not purely experience, but it's what are your current certifications, because in the medical field, all of that has to be current.
Sure.
But all of that can be brought out of the APRA. I think it's AHPRA, the APRA database, yeah, which is publicly available or available if you have a license. We could integrate that with Einstein, and all the current certifications would be matched to the individual. You could qualify them in or qualify them out without even touching it.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're not wasting time of, you know, highly skilled people like yourself to go through that initial qualification process. It would be more a case of, you know, what you really want to do with data, honestly, is you want people, you want your resources that are valuable resources, right? You want them performing high value work, and you want your systems performing low value work.
Sure.
And I think within recruitment, yeah, we should even, I mean, that's another discussion entirely. There's a lot that could be done. I haven't even talked about AI. I'm just talking about analytics right now.
Yeah. I mean, that part about APRA and pulling in the information, I think that works really well in certain industries where it's not so much about culture fit, but more so about, like, you know, are they a qualified doctor and are they going to be working locum? Therefore, it's not so much about, you know, are they going to be the right team fit, but are they available at that time? Do they have the right credentials? And you can take away the human element of that, because it doesn't need to kind of read emotions and EQ and all those kind of things, I guess.
You're right. But I would suggest that one area that I enjoy reading about is things like personality assessment, psychological profiles.
Yeah.
So there are some quite powerful tools available out there that can give you a pretty good insight, at least enough, I think, for qualify in, qualify out, into what kind of person is this?
Sure.
What are their values? What drives them? What motivates them?
Yeah.
I mean, I actually went through that process recently with an online tool. It was very interesting. You know, why couldn't you, just thinking out loud, why couldn't you make that a part of your application process, right? Then you can get into putting them into quadrants and scoring, and that might be part of that initial matching matrix process. From there, of course, you're going to have to spend time with them. Right. But again, that's that high value work that we want you doing.
Sure.
Rather than sorting through, I don't know how many you have on file, but sorting through 1,000 names of, yeah, all these people have, you know, the Salesforce admin. And I got 200 of them with the admin cert. and here's this role. All right, well, can I use intelligence to bring that list down from 200 to 25?
Sure.
And then you go through the 25?
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to save you a lot of time, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see how it evolves in this world, because I think the recruitment world has been ripe for some innovation and, yeah, some change. So it'll be interesting to see how AI and analytics plays a role in that space. What about just broadly, where do you see things changing and evolving from here with the platforms that Salesforce have and are offering to the market?
Yeah, so there's probably two answers to that, one specific to the Salesforce ecosystem or one broader. Specific to the Salesforce ecosystem, you know, Salesforce is still investing very heavily in Tableau CRM and in Einstein Discovery and the other Einstein tools and products, of which there are many. It becomes quite confusing, actually. There are so many of them. And then the Tableau business, which of course has now been acquired, is, you know, investing heavily in their releases, which I believe are quarterly, if I remember correctly. So both tools continue to be developed. But what's interesting is that now there's a lot of cross-fertilization of ideas. You know, the tools are being more and more integrated. So, you know, even what I said earlier, being able to surface Einstein Discovery predictions in Tableau, that's a game changer. You know, embedding a Tableau dashboard in Salesforce is far, far easier than it used to be. You know, the ability to continue to use some of your modeling capability from Einstein in Tableau and be able to do that more and more. And I think just the fact that you want to have a solution that's more cohesive, I'm very lucky in that I get to spend time with the team that's actually building out the roadmap and talk to them about the challenges of having both platforms, because some of our clients do, and how can we better integrate those solutions. And it's not as simple as it might sound, because quite often they're drawing on different data sets, and how do you align those, right? It can be quite tricky. But I definitely see over time that they will continue to integrate further and further, but each platform itself will continue to develop and evolve and provide more power, for want of a better term, more capability. I think if I were to look at data analytics in general, the truth of the matter is that the sad truth is that so many of these projects do fail. It's generally agreed that 70-80% of BI projects don't deliver the result that they were intended to deliver, which is awful, right? Because they're not cheap projects. So there's a lot of talk in the industry now around moving beyond even dashboarding. So, okay, if we're building dashboards and we're spending $1 million delivering dashboards to 1,000 users in a sales organization and 20% of that's being used, is there a different way? And there's talk around something called augmented analytics, where it's actually machine learning and AI that surfaces the insights that the individual needs, and they don't have to dive into a dashboard necessarily, although they could, and drill into that data and slice and dice it ad infinitum. Even beyond that, there are some new tools out there, something called an interesting one, which I've just come across, called knowledge graphs. You know, the ability to surface for a user, you know, the actual insights that they need, and they may not even know that they need them. And that's one of the great challenges with BI. People, you know, you don't just sit down and say, what do you need? And people tell you when we build it. That never happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people know their business and they've got an idea what they want to do.
Yeah.
Our role is to try and bridge the gap. Say, well, as we get to know your data, as we get to know your people, your processes, this is what we think will give you the result you'll need. And then it's that agile process of iteration back and forth.
Sure.
Which is where I think the great result is delivered.
Yeah, nice. So exciting times ahead. Obviously also exciting, your book. If people want to follow, and obviously lots of our listeners already know who you are and where you are, but for anyone that doesn't, if they want to catch you, reach out, or be kept informed of when things like the book or future blogs are coming out, where's the best platform?
Yeah, look, I'm very active on LinkedIn, and you just search for my name on LinkedIn and you'll find me with the gold jacket. On Twitter, it's just my name as one word, Mark Tossell, with two S's and two L's. And then I do also have a blog page, which I update quite regularly, and that's marktossell.com.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed catching up. Great to hear things are going well, and been a good education piece for me, learning more about the different platforms. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Always enjoy it.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible.